Jury selection picks up again tomorrow in Donald Trump's hush money trial in New York. CBS's Matt Piper.
Donald Trump stood and gave the group of 96 potential jurors a smirk as the selection process began in the hush money trial. Shortly after that, more than half of them were dismissed, saying they could not be fair or impartial.
Authorities say a fourth victim has been recovered and identified following the Key Bridge collapse in Baltimore. Two bodies are still missing. Rust movie armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed will spend the next 18 months in prison for involuntary manslaughter in New Mexico.
The jury has found me in part at fault for this god-awful tragedy, but that doesn't make me a monster. That makes me human.
The judge says she showed no remorse. And CBS is celebrating 1,000 episodes of NCIS tonight. Star Wilder Valderrama.
There's something very special about NCIS. I think it's about the people, and I was very proud about, you know, just be part of the family.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin maker of firefighting foam has reached a $750 million settlement with public water systems with harmful PFAS chemicals in their drinking water. Tyco Fire Products use foam containing PFAS at its firefighting training facility in Marinette. 3M and DuPont have also recently settled PFAS lawsuits over polluted drinking water. U.S. House Republicans will have just a one-vote majority after Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher steps down Friday. Former Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Reed Ribble says he's not alarmed.
Let's face it, Congress really isn't doing anything, and they're not going to be doing anything. This last few months in session is going to be all messaging bills.
Ribble on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Eau Claire County District Attorney Peter Rindle has announced his campaign to remain in the position. Rindle was appointed to the district attorney job by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers after accusations of sexual harassment and drinking on the job against his predecessor, Gary King. In his announcement, Rindle said, quote, "It matters to me that the people of Eau Claire County are represented fairly and justly, and that is why I'm running for district attorney. At this point, Rindle is the only candidate in the race."
City of Eau Claire officials are working to update the area's zoning laws in an effort to create more affordable housing. According to a WQOW report, one proposed update would lower the minimum lot size for multi-unit housing, making more housing available and lowering demand through increased supply. The city is still looking for public input on the potential zoning changes, and the next public meeting will be held on May 20th at the L.E. Phillips Memorial Public Library. The current zoning maps were drawn in 1923. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's the Brewers and the Padres. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a series at home against the Padres tonight. They lost to the Orioles yesterday, 6-4, despite getting off to a good start on Bally Sports.
And Contreras to center field. Back Mullins. Back and gone. What a statement for Contreras.
That is absolutely awesome by William Contreras. The second pitch of the ball game for Corbin Burnes.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on facing Corbin Burnes.
Well, whenever you're, you know, trying to face a number one, you're trying to do everything you can to pester him and get him off his game. I don't know that we did that. He still pitched five innings and kept us to three runs. So
the Brewers won the series in Baltimore 2-1. NBA, the Bucks trounced by the Magic, 113-88. Doc Rivers blamed poor decisions offensively.
Yeah, I thought way too many ISOs. And not only did we ISO'd the wrong guy.
The Bucks will host the Pacers Sunday in round one of the playoffs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a sprinkle, low mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, scattered showers, even some rumbles of thunder, high upper 50s and windy. And breezy again Wednesday, more showers and storms, highs mid-50s. A clearing trend, but breezy again Thursday. Sun's back for Friday. Currently, it's Matt 66.
Air on air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center. The entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome back, Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. Give us a call, jump in, you know, break it down with me and Johnny. Johnny Lupinacci, man, thank you for holding together everything on Friday night. I know I had took the night off and
it was good. I mean, we had a blast. Aaron and I got acquainted, and I mean, he ran the boards. He did an excellent job. We had great callers. LA Tom came in for,
nice.
For almost a whole segment. My man and I were chopping it up. So you were missed, but we held on.
I always worry. I'm like, okay, if Johnny Lupinacci and LA Tom ever were just the two of you, you probably guys would just continue talking.
Yeah, we did great, man. I mean, it was fun. I brought in some Baldwin. I brought in some recap from teacher Joanna had sent me some great resources from Jeffrey Duncan Andrade. And that was really fun to kind of talk about just how important we landed on all the week's great themes. Nice. And we're going to carry it into this week. But how relational this work all is. I mean, how on the ground it is and how good teaching and like great public education all hinges on the fabric of strong relationships and strong democracy.
I was going to say, and strong democracy, and boy, Monday night, right into the democracy. Right, we said, we're planning this show. We have Democracy in Action, the Busted Pencils Hero Award. We're announcing it tonight, the first night. We're putting it out there. That doesn't mean that all of you, we've thought about you coming up to this, people who have done democracy, but doing democracy in action, the Hero Award, man, check this out though, Johnny. We were talking about this last week when, you know, the idea of charter schools. When we talk about charter schools and it's like, okay, are charter schools public? Are they private? You know, it gets murky. It gets kind of, we're not exactly sure. We talked to Mike DeGeer from Colorado, and they were talking about, you know, the fact that in front of their legislature, they had a bill to bring accountability to the charter schools in Colorado that were not overseen by elected school boards.
Yeah,
sounds like a great idea. Yes. Well, check it out. You know, we end up right here. The State Board of Education in Michigan last week.
Hey, loyal to the Mitten.
Yeah, they approved a resolution during its meeting calling for legislation to open charter schools to be treated more like public schools. That's in the state of Michigan. And guess where this came from? It came from our friend. Well, he's the associate professor of music education at Michigan State University. He's held previous collegiate appointments at the University of Connecticut and Eastman School of Music. He's also served, almost had introduced him before it was time, editor of the Music Educators Journal and on the editorial boards of several research and professional journals. And check this out. He was elected to the State Board of Education in Michigan in November of 2022. Welcome back. Our Democracy in Action, Busted Pencils hero, my brother from another mother, Mitchell Robinson. How are you, Mitchell?
Great. Good to be with you both.
How do you like that for a lead-in, man?
I'm taking you guys on the road with me. That's great.
All right.
We know how to bring it.
Okay. Anytime, anytime, Mitch, anytime.
So much here, Mitchell. We said we talked last week about Colorado and their desire to bring accountability in one sense to the charter schools. Explain to us now a resolution from the State Board of Education in Colorado. It was a bill in front of. This is a little bit different. So help us bring this apart, you know, a little civics 101 teaching for everybody. What's a resolution from the State Board of Education as opposed to legislation from the legislature?
Well, the State Board of Education in Michigan does not have authority to pass legislation, obviously. We're not legislators. We are, for the most part, educators and public education advocates, most of us, I would say. But what we can do is offer advice and guidance to the legislation. Also important to note here, the State Board of Ed in Michigan has passed resolutions on charter school accountability and transparency in the past. Our former president, Dr. Cassandra Albrich, was instrumental in getting one of those proposals passed a few years ago, but the legislature was not amenable, shall we say. So we've gone through 40 years of Republican control in Michigan. Okay. Which our friends in Ohio are familiar with and friends in many states are familiar with. I've tried personally to get several things before the legislature, and nothing was ever given a hearing. So we feel like we've been kind of wandering in the desert for 40 years. And then a couple of years ago, we had a blue trifecta in our state. And the Democrats right now hold the governor's mansion, and they hold the Senate and the House. Now, they don't hold the House right now, but tomorrow we have held the House, but we had two Democratic members that ran for other offices and left us tied, right? We're exactly tied. So nothing really has happened with a tied legislature, but tomorrow are two special elections, and we have two Democratic candidates running in those elections. They are both favored to win. So sometime soon, we're going to be back and able to start putting legislation forward. So I think the difference between the last resolution and this one is now we have a much more favorable political climate in the state. We have good friends in the legislature. We have a record number of former teachers in the legislature, including people chairing the House and Senate education committees. So I'm hopeful that we'll get something moved.
So here we are. So this is the charter, and it's a resolution. Now, you being a member of the State Board of Education, elected, again, democracy in action, Johnny Lupinacci, right? Yep. There, an educated educator who's actually doing democracy by getting elected to the State Board. Mitchell, you authored this resolution, my understanding, or how it works. And so you put
It worked was that last November is I put together a resolution. And, you know, when you're doing something like this, there's no sense in trying to come up with, you know, boilerplate things when lots of smart people have put together similar resolutions. There have been national resolutions, county resolutions. So I did what most of us in academia did. If you steal from one source, it's plagiarism. If you steal from multiple sources, it's research. So I looked at a lot of different resolutions, found a lot of very good ideas, made them specific to Michigan. And then so from November until April, we workshopped it. We have a legislative committee for the State Board of Ed. We have a really strong Michigan Department of Ed with great staff members. The State Superintendent of Instruction is very strong as well. And all those people provided guidance and input. And we came up with what I thought was a very strong, much stronger resolution than I had originally written. And we presented that to the board last Tuesday, and it passed 6-1.
So it's a charter school. And we said every time we get into this, we run into having to give a little bit of an education, because charter school, is it public? Is it private? And I understand why we're against vouchers without any type of transparency. But charter schools, I heard they were, and I'm just kind of mentioning what my neighbor would say to me. My neighbor would say, but Tim, charter schools are public. I don't understand all of the kind of why you're so upset and why you're worried about charter schools. They're public schools. And Mitchell, kind of, but not really necessarily, right?
Well, I would say charter schools are technically public schools. Okay. I would say the only thing public about charter schools is their funding. So, and interestingly, the head of the state's charter school kind of lobby also doesn't seem to understand that charter schools are public schools. Because what he said to me and a couple of other conservative outlets is that I wanted to get rid of charter schools because I've written previously that I don't think that public money should go towards private schools. And so I gently pointed out to them that charter schools are technically public schools. So when I say public dollars shouldn't go towards private schools, I'm not really talking about charter schools.
Right.
Except they think that charter schools are private schools. So I think we have some educating to do for the people that are advocating and lobbying for charter schools as well.
Well, because Johnny and I have talked about this too, because there are quote public charter schools. And I think, you know, in Wisconsin in particular, there is, you know, a very much a district level charter school within school districts. So in one of the school districts that I'm familiar with in Wisconsin, right, Verona Area School District, there are charter schools then created by that district that are directly accountable to the board in that Verona Area School District. They don't live right outside of the bounds of the elected school board. And so in that sense, that's truly a charter school, public schools, and it has the accountability and transparency. There are, though, there's a loophole in a lot of charters where they're still funded by public monies, but then they exist outside of the bounds of locally elected school boards. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Well, we have to talk about two things. One, we have to talk about who authorizes charter schools and, in essence, provides the charter and whatever oversight there is. And then we also have to talk about governance. And so charter schools in Michigan can be authorized by universities, by ISDs, intermediate school districts, by local school districts. They can be authorized by any of those educational agencies, as we call them. In practice, about 90% of the charters in our state are authorized by one or two charters, a couple of universities. One is a two-year community college that doesn't offer any education degrees. I have some questions about what kind of oversight is happening in those from those authorizers. But then we have to talk about, you know, how those schools are being governed. And the chartering arrangements with what are called charter management organizations often call for the charter management organization and or the educational authorizer to retain authority to appoint and remove charter school, PSA board members. Those board members are never elected by citizens of the communities in which those schools reside. So, you know, we opened the show tonight talking about governance, and now we're talking about democracy. And to me, the big problem with charter schools is they're not democratic institutions. And they're also a terrible idea financially in our state. I don't know how it is where everyone else is, but in our state, we struggle to fund one public school system. Trying to fund two parallel public school systems is financially irresponsible.
The way you put that together is for people to understand our neighbors, particularly who try to think it's like public, private. I know, and get it in all together. And it's like, oh, okay. So wait a minute. I think that's what we're really talking about, though, too. When you say the governance of these charter schools is they're outside of the bounds of democracy. The governance of these charter schools. And that's what you were trying to put in this resolution, the way I understand it, is to go, whoa, wait a minute. There's got to be, if with public monies, democracy has to be the governing body when it comes to public monies. And boy, some people think this sounds crazy, that when public money, that democracy should have a say, but that's what we do. Busted Pencils, fully led in education talk. Our guest is my brother from another mother, Mitchell Robinson. Hey. He is our democracy in action hero. More when we
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Grocery prices.
Well, now to more sticker shock at the grocery store.
Chaos at the southern border.
Thousands of migrants have joined a caravan in Central America that's making its way to the U.S.
Cutting the wages of working Americans.
And now they can employ cheap immigrants instead of having to pay working class Americans a living wage.
But Biden and Tammy Baldwin don't care. They're millionaires. Tammy Baldwin lives in a million-dollar luxury penthouse in Washington, D.C. Oh, come on. How do you think career politicians like Biden and Tammy Baldwin and their families become millionaires?
The records show Hunter Biden's company received nearly $5 million in consulting contracts from that joint venture funded by a Chinese energy company.
Inflation. Out-of-control immigration. insider deals. That's the Biden and Baldwin way. America's PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by America's PAC and not authorized by any other candidate or committee. America's PAC 527.com.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
We do. We love talking about it. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators, talking education. 855-752-4842 is the number. If you want to call, give us a call. If you're still confused about charter schools, what are they? Why is there opposition to charter schools? I thought they were public, and I thought Tim and Johnny are like pro-public education. How is it that they have guests now, second time in a row? They've got people that sound like they've got a problem with charter schools. Well, Johnny, you help them out. I've been talking too much, dude.
Well, I mean, I love it, and I love the work Mitch is bringing, you know, to the community in Michigan, and his team is working on this, and I think it echoes this idea. Like, we have this mess in the landscape of you know what school choice means for parents and members of our community. You know, and this whole idea is we're often marketed like, hey, you should have options. But in between the lines, that's meant, you know, opening up to the free market, our education system, and far too often for-profit charters. So we've said there's like different types of charters. There's nonprofit charters. There's, you know, community charters. There are for-profit charters. There are large, like kind of equivalent of like cookie cutter, big box, you know, fast food industry versions of this. And so one of the things that like we're really making clear is, you know, here we are, we have this situation where we've really deregulated public education and education to the point where kind of anybody can open a school. I know that's a little oversimplifying it, but you could put together a plan and you could have sort of a for-profit or a political agenda. I know Mitch is shaking his head because I said I'm oversimplifying it. He's like, actually, you're not, man. You could technically, like, we could have the Tim and Johnny Charter School. And what's happening here in Michigan is really great. And it's also what, you know, Bill and Shirley last week were talking about, or Jane Shirley, they were saying, hey, let's have some legislation that puts some accountability back in what constitutes a school. Because in the end, families and community and children have suffered at the hands of these large for-profit charters. They in some promise the world. So parents, you know, think like, okay, well, this is a great option. Maybe this is a better fit for my child. They go there and it doesn't deliver. And now you're kind of at this loss. But what it was is it all was just a marketing scheme to make money off of families and kids. And one of the things this kind of legislation does is puts accountability and says, okay, you want an option in your district or you want some different schools. Well, they have to kind of play ball by the rules of education. And there are some important factors. One of them being is they can't refuse students if they have space. Right, then students are allowed in. They can't sort of, you know, run this. We're going to do things at lower cost and pay teachers less and make more. There's this profit margin that has to be transparent, right? Their intentions and their politics need to be transparent because there has to be some kind of regulation, right? So it's kind of a middle ground, it sounds like to me. It's a middle ground between free market, laissez-faire, anything goes. And hold on a second, because this is really important. We still advocate for public schools, but maybe within the public school system, there are possibilities for options that don't harm our public school infrastructure. They kind of fit with it.
Yeah. Well, so many great points there. I think we have to back up also and remember that charter schools were originally an idea of teachers' unions.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out of teachers wanting to be innovative in pedagogical and many different ways. And I've studied charter schools for a couple of decades now. I have never seen innovation in the charter school sector, unless you're talking about real estate scams and other kind of problems. The other thing is, in Michigan, we are completely agnostic about what kind of schools parents want to send their kids to. We have school choice in Michigan. Parents can send their kids to any school they choose to. Choice is not the same as vouchers. And that these two issues get colluded all the time. And what we have in Michigan is schools of choice legislation, thanks to Betsy DeVos. We need to name that elephant in the room as well. And now that Betsy DeVos doesn't have a platform and doesn't have power in the state, what we're seeing is a swing back to understanding that if you want public funds, that you have to play on a level playing field. We also often hear from our friends on the right that education is a business. I'm a teacher. Education is not a business. Businesses have different rules. The only way that education can be a business is if you're trying to make a profit, and schools are not profit centers. Hmm. So for a school to make more money, about 90% of our budget in schools is people. It's personnel. It's not, we're not Ford, you know, we're not the auto industry. Mm. So when you want to make more money in a school, you have to do a couple of things. You have to pay teachers less, charters do. You have to pay administrators more, charters do. And you have to make sure that the kids that you're letting in the school are cheaper to teach. So that means getting rid of kids with special education issues, with IEPs. It means getting rid of kids with behavioral problems. And you were talking about the large box kind of schools. National Heritage Academies is one of the biggest chains in the country. I think the second largest. It's located in Michigan. And that's exactly what National Heritage Academy charter schools have done. They've been sued by teachers in their schools for not offering required special ed services. And instead of offering those services, they have settled out of court. They fired the teacher, settled out of court. So if you want to play hockey, you play by hockey rules. Mm. If you want to play basketball, you can't play on skates. And what we've been doing in Michigan is allowing charter schools to play by hockey rules while the rest of us are playing by basketball rules. And it's been an uneven playing field. The only people that should be worried about accountability for charter schools are people that are trying to get profitable off charter schools and off of families. And we're not going to let that happen.
Mm. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Mitch Robinson, he is State Board of Education in Michigan, put forward a resolution last week for charter school accountability. You know, hey, playing by the same rules. We're saying it's a basketball game. We want basketball rules enforced all the way across. And particularly, though, again, locating this within the democracy of which public schools are, they're getting public monies, money from the taxpayers. And therefore, then, those who pay the taxpayers and citizens, democracy is what is the governing board there, which is typically some form of a school board. And Mitch, what you were talking about, though, too, is this saying, so I get a charter authorized. It sounds like what that authorizes me to do is collect public monies. It doesn't authorize me to play by any of the rules, because if I want to play by my own rules, I get the public charter. I get the ability to take money, and then I appoint my governing board of people who I like. Therefore, making sure that the way I do business is kind of, again, and people are like, well, wait, they're governed by a board. No, not the same thing as an elected school board of the. Okay, Mitch, right?
Well, and there's another layer in between. So let's say I'm a university with a charter school office and I want to authorize a charter school. I can do that. And then I can turn over the management of that charter school to a private for-profit charter management organization. And that happens in Michigan, especially in Detroit. We lead the nation. 90% of our charter schools in Detroit are of the for-profit variety, more than any other state in the country. One of my colleagues on the board referred to our charter school landscape as the Wild West of charter schools. Virtually no regulation.
Well, it sounds like what's happening then, though, too, is that it's a for-profit management system. And you say this is where it gets cloudy. It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. The number is 855-752-4842. Mitch Robinson, our guest, talking about public accountability for charter schools. It's about time. And when we get back, we're going to bring it more. Busted Pencils.
Tune in Tuesday for the Devil's Advocates radio show. We'll see if they picked any jurors in New York in the Trump trials. You got to tune in. Devil's Advocates 4 to 6.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent. And I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Now that the warmer weather is starting to creep back into the area, there's a new way for residents to get out on the water. The City of Menominee and Explore Menominee are now offering kayak rentals on Lake Menominee through the Rent Fun app. If residents are interested in taking advantage of the kayak rentals, they can head out to the boat landing in Lakeside Park with the Rent Fun app and check out a kayak by scanning a QR code. The kayak rentals cost $25 for a two-hour rental, and they are already available. A Chippewa Falls man has been sentenced to prison in relation to an armed robbery. 24-year-old Elijah Johnson was accused of breaking into a Harding Avenue home around midnight on January 21st and assaulting the owners of the home. One victim told police that Johnson hit him in the face with a pistol before he and the other suspect, Jeremiah Mackey of Eau Claire, fled the scene with a PlayStation 5. Johnson was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison, followed by 2 years of extended supervision. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Sad news from the world of reality television, specifically from The Golden Bachelor, where Lovebirds Jerry Turner and Teresa Nist have announced they are divorcing after just 3 months of marriage. People.com calls the announcement a bombshell, so it's obvious they don't follow reality TV marriages. Turner and Nist were both in their 70s. The warning signs were there early on when Jerry got down on his knee to propose and couldn't get back up. List also apparently had an issue with Turner's dating history, adding that she was really hoping to be his first. The two were married during the season finale in the fall of 2023. The event was televised by ABC, but the network must have seen the writing on the wall as they held the ceremony at a La Quinta. Apparently, there was no vacancy at the Baymont Suites. The couple announced their divorce on Good Morning America, which is also on ABC. Coincidence? Doubt it. When it comes right down to it, neither one of them were interested in having great grandkids together. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, maybe a sprinkle, low mid-40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, scattered showers, even some rumbles of thunder, high upper 50s and windy. And breezy again Wednesday, more showers and storms, highs mid-50s. A clearing trend but breezy again Thursday, sun's back for Friday. Currently, it's 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Busted Pencils, fully, yeah, we can save you. Busted Pencils, fully led at education talk. Educated Educators Talking Education, 855-752-4842. People on the live stream are like, man, they just keep right talking right through the commercials. That's right. Jump onto the Facebook, on the Twitter, on the YouTube stream. I guess it's not Twitter anymore. We have to say that thing to that other place, X or something they call it. You can be checking it out. Yeah, when the commercials are on, we keep talking because guess what? You've got educated educators in the room, and we like to talk education. Our guest tonight, Mitch Robinson, he's an elected member of the State Board of Education in Michigan. We were saying, Mitch, I think the last time we had you on the show, you were a candidate. And, there it is. So congratulations. And you're now 2 years in doing the work. Let's do a quick little deviation because we said we're giving you the Busted Pencils Democracy in Action Hero Award. What's it like, though, now doing democracy and being that member of an elected school board? Because, I mean, you were a vocal advocate of public schools, and then you said, you know what, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and you ran for office and you got it. How's it going? Inspiring? Should more people do it? Should more educators who want to get involved, would you recommend this for them?
Well, let me say two things. Number one, it's been great when we're getting stuff done. And since I've been on the board, and I'm not saying the board did all this, but the legislature has been fantastic in getting things done. After, like I said before, a long time of getting nothing done because of the Republican control in the state. But since I've been on the board, the legislature has repealed an A through F accountability system, has repealed the retention portion of the Read by Grade 3 laws, has greatly changed educator evaluation laws. They're much better than they were. Has raised teacher pay 3 consecutive years. We pay student teachers $9,800 a semester when they teach. We have better reciprocity with other states for teachers. We have common sense gun laws that the governor got passed that make schools safer. Yeah. And we have free school breakfast and lunch for every child in a public school in Michigan, which is a game changer. So when we're getting stuff like that done, it's fantastic. When we're not, it's really frustrating. What's been good about it is that we have a lot more educators, former educators, that now serve in the House and the Senate in Michigan. Excellent. And they completely get it. So we have the chair of the House and Senate Education Committees. Other members of those committees are former teachers of the year in the state, former teachers all across the state. So talking to them, we have a shorthand, right? They're not civilians, right? Yep. They're pros. They understand the issues that we're talking about. And on the docket coming up, we're looking at pre-K and community college for all. We're expanding pre-K down to age 4, better dyslexia screening. And my next resolution that I'm putting in front of the board, probably next month, is going to be on reducing or eliminating standardized testing. So we're trying to hit the big issues while the iron is hot, right? This is the time.
Well, so there is inspiration there because you think about that. You know, for any listener out there is like, should I get involved? The answer is yes, because what you're describing, though, is that, you know, you've got educators that are fully involved, that are on the legislature, that are in the state board of education like you. Yep. So bringing all of those people together, educators stepping up and doing democracy, the work then of advocating for public schools, which, you know, we say is the foundation, not say, we know is the foundation of democracy. Well, then having people like you in these positions of democracy, state board, state legislator, school board member, getting involved in being there, because Mitch, the way you said it, because your knowledge of what goes on there means that the ability to do things that make sense, where people go, where would this have come from? You must not have been a teacher. They weren't. That's not to dismiss really good, smart people, but it's to realize that there is something that an educator brings to these discussions, particularly when it comes to advocating for what's needed in public schools. For needed. We always have this conversation with people. It's like, you guys sound like you're just asking for the world. And we're like, we're talking about needs. We're not talking about wants. You want to do a show on wants? We can do those. We're talking about needs. It sounds like what's happening in Michigan are the needs are finally being met. That's what I'm hearing right there.
You know, anyone who's studied democracy or this country knows that this country was founded on the idea of a citizen legislature. And that's what we are getting closer to in Michigan. Mm-hmm. The Democratic House and Senate looks like Michigan. There's much more diversity. There are more women in charge. That it looks like Michigan. And when you have a citizen legislature, you're going to get the things that the people need. When you've only got old, pale, stale males in the House and the Senate, then, you know, nothing happens, and that's what they want. You know, the status quo favors the people that have the advantages. So, you know, what we're trying to do, I mean, I'm a 65-year-old white married professor at a Big Ten institution with tenure. I check every one of the boxes on the privilege checklist. If I'm not going to use that privilege and power to help people that don't have it, then what the hell am I doing with it?
Oh my God. Look at Anya too. Pale scale male. She loved that quote from you.
Pale
from
you. Stale.
Stale.
Stale. Even better.
Pale stale males. Well, that, and you know what? Yeah. And anybody watching the live feed right now, it's like, boy, you guys are the epitome of that description, Johnny Lupinacci. But I tell you what, though, I think Johnny and I have better hair than you, Mitch.
Absolutely.
I aspire
to that landscape that you have there.
Yeah. Lupinacci, you got something, man.
Oh, man, I'm just happy to hear this. I mean, it's exciting. One, you know, Michigan is my home state, even though I've been now in Washington for 10 years. You know, it's an honor to be here as a teacher educator, but it's through the trials and tribulations of being a Michigan teacher, you know, being a teacher in Detroit and in Southeast Michigan and working with so many great teacher preparation programs that constitute those leaders that Mitch is saying now have, you know, taken up their civic duty and are applying their knowledge as representatives of citizens of Michigan to make good decisions across the aisle. You know, like this isn't, we talk about this all the time. This isn't something that in particular Republicans ought to have one stance on and Democrats have the other. And then we just fight. It's really about, okay, let's have a basis for the strength of our state, of our democracy. You know, education is a state right. And so this does differ from state to state, but it's great to hear the good things happening in Michigan. In the break, we were talking about joking a little bit about it. You know, when I was learning to be a teacher, it was a no-brainer in terms of everyone knew Michigan was a great state to be a teacher. And that was true for the first few years of my classroom teaching. And very quickly, that started to come undone. Similar to Wisconsin's Act 10, I started really attacking unions. I started really inter charters and then closures of public schools left and right, especially in Detroit. And the champion of, hey, look what's happening in New Orleans after Katrina. And it was like, wait, they had a natural disaster that devastated communities. And they're utilizing that disaster to decimate public education. We haven't even had that disaster. We had some big economic fallout in Michigan. Mm. But yet we are, that model is being championed to tear apart our schools and really make it almost impossible to stay a teacher. So well, it's amazing. Yeah,
we didn't need Katrina. We had Betsy. We didn't need a natural disaster. We had a man-made disaster in Michigan. Yeah. And I can't tell you how gratifying it is to have her kind of out of the conversation. Her following has diminished. Now, not to say that she's not working like a demon behind the scenes. She's trying to get things back. And so we never take anything for granted, right, in our state. The blueness of our state, we are enjoying right now, but it's a purple state. We don't take any election for granted. I've been going out and talking to county organizations about the importance of local school board elections. One of my colleagues is doing some screenings for school board elections. That's the other side of the aisle. Stated policy is their Trojan horse is getting Moms for Liberty candidates and other people onto local school boards. And so I think we have to stay vigilant. But the good news is that teachers understand this. If we listen to teachers, and my suspicion is we don't because a lot of them are women and we have not listened to women. If we would just listen to teachers and pay attention, I think any public school teacher in my state could be doing what I'm doing on the State Board of Ed, any one of them. And frankly, I'm a little disappointed that there aren't more people like Tim and Johnny across the country as college teacher educators that aren't willing to stand up and speak out for public education. So thank you both for doing what you're doing.
Well, man.
You know, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday now. Now times, Mitch. Busted Pencils every day of the week. We're out there doing it. It is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Mitch Robinson, he is on the Michigan. He's elected member of the Michigan, the state of education, blah, 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 the State Board of Education in Michigan. And talking about the resolution that was authored by Mitch that got passed to say charter schools, we need some accountability. And now we're looking to hopefully the legislature will take this up then in the state of Michigan. We were talking about last week in Colorado that actually the legislature had already passed it, but they were hoping to see whether or not they were going to get the votes needed to put it in forward, because there was a ton, and this will come back to Betsy DeVos, of billionaire money being funneled to knock out the resolution for charter school accountability in Colorado. And Mitch, you say Betsy DeVos right now, you know, it's kind of nice, but the reality is she's still a billionaire and she still thinks she matters. And in fact, I would say she probably still really does, because she still has billions of dollars that she seems to be willing to spend to take out public school accountability or charter school accountability. I mean, let's be honest, right? That's where she's coming from.
The other good news, though, here in Michigan is that our state's Republican Party is just an absolute disaster. So we have two dueling factions that each think that they are the Michigan Republican Party. They've been locked out of their computers, have been locked out of their office buildings. So what we're trying to do is, frankly, take advantage of the chaos on the other side. And I will say that the Michigan State Board of Ed and the House and the Senate and the governor's office and everything right now on the blue side of the ledger, we're organized, we're motivated, and we aren't getting in each other's way. We're speaking with one voice. So people like Julian over at Western Michigan are hugely important. My colleague Josh Cowan in the College of Ed at Michigan State, coming out with a new book on vouchers in June, I think. We have lots of really good, smart people and some of the best teachers in the country. And again, if we just listen to them, we'll do the right things.
Man, we've talked about the teacher shortage. I can't imagine. I mean, right now, people listening to this show are sitting there going like, let me relocate to Michigan and become a teacher in the state of Michigan, because it's feeling like they're at least taking us seriously for the first time. Mitch, though, too, I mean, I want to definitely have you back, though, to talk about the resolution you're putting forward to end standardized testing, because whoa, you know this, man. I'm an original opt-out guy. I mean, I pulled my son and daughter out of No Child Left Behind testing, you know, and became the scourge of central Pennsylvania for how dare I do that and try to hurt my kids' schools by taking them out. And we kept trying to say, look, man, opt out. It's these standardized tests. They were designed with one thing in mind, to kill the public school system. And Mitch, put a resolution. Some people I've even heard the same, well, isn't that testing craze over? No, it's not. It's not. Just because we don't have No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. Guess what, though? As we were talking to our favorite teachers, our Educators Amplified partners in Milwaukee last week, it's testing season and they know it and everybody knows it. So our guest tonight, Mitch Robinson, he is from Michigan State University, but he is the elected State Board of Education, put forth a resolution for charter school accountability. Good luck on that, Mitch, man. And here's the reality. You are our democracy in action hero. Thanks for busting pencils, Mitch.
Thank you, Mitch.
I'm looking forward to receiving the check. Thank you.
All right. It is on its way. We'll, during the commercial, I'll write out that check. Busted Pencils, Johnny and Tim, break it down when we get back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turned 26. Now, that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
School's in. School's in. It's busted pencils. Fully leaded.
Yeah.
Education talk educated. Educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Great guest for the first half part of the show. Mitch Robinson, Michigan State Music Education Faculty, State Board of Education member. The last now 2 years puts forth a resolution to have charter schools, guess what? To be accountable like all public schools in the state of Michigan. That's all. Just public schools and public schools playing by the same rules. That's all they're asking for.
I love the way Mitch broke it down for us, Tim. He's like, you know, you got to play by the rules. And you know, he gave us that great, I love a sports analogy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't till after a few years of teaching when students finally said, dude, you got to stop only doing sports analogies in class. I was like, I know. And I diversified my interests, but you know, I learned through sports metaphors. So Mitch breaking that down, saying, you know, we are all like, if public schools are playing by the rules of basketball and charter schools get to play hockey rules, mm-hmm. you know, and it just doesn't work. And that's a great way to put it, you know, and this bill being a great step towards where are we at and how do we go forward? Well, one step forward in support of democracy, you know, mm-hmm. is that our public schools all play by the same rules, and that included in that, and this is a core democratic value, Tim.
Thank you.
You know, we build trust through transparency. And so that whole thing that our guests last week, you know, that came on talked about dark money, and like mm-hmm. that just puts a spotlight on that. You know, you don't get to move the money around and create these for-profit charters that ultimately, you know, do damage to schools. And really harm at the expense of children getting a good education. And it still allows for that innovative sort of origin of the idea that
right. you know,
Mitch was talking about. There's still a lot of creative and innovative ways that teachers and school districts and partnerships with, you know, universities or, you know, in districts can explore alternatives, but they have mm-hmm. to be transparent and they have to play by the rules. And so this is a fantastic step forward in Michigan. You know, an archetype for the nation right now, kind of right. what Colorado is battling at the moment. And so,
well, you think about it, it's reminding me too a lot of Wisconsin and the possibilities in a Wisconsin to bring forth this same type of reality. You know, I mean, right now you've got a gerrymandered legislature that's really tough in Wisconsin to take out, but they've got a Democratic governor, and it is a state that is committed to public education and democracy. Man, you know, a few more democracy and action heroes, you know, from Busted Pencils listeners out there stepping up to get on school boards, to run for legislature, to do that work. Because here's the other thing. When an educator steps up and makes the conversation about, look, I'm doing this because it's what's best for our community, what's best for our kids, what's best for our schools. Man, I tell you what, sometimes even in a gerrymandered district, the ability to talk about taking care of your neighbors cuts across that gerrymandering where people go, you know what? I like my kids. I like my neighborhood schools. I actually like the prom. I like Friday night football. Wait a minute. I'm thinking I might see the possibility of voting for an educator then to be part of the legislature, because as Mitch just said, citizen democracy, right? That's who it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be representative of the who. So people who are in the legislature are supposed to look like the communities, and way too often in lots of places now, legislatures, really tend to reflect the money that they take, and find where they get the money from, and you're going to find typically how you can predict how they're going to vote for anything, and which typically is then not representative of the citizens, and it's therefore not very democratic, Johnny Lupinacci. Thinking about democracy, though, right, in Wisconsin, I mean,
yeah,
can you imagine, like, the potential of a busted pencils on location type of possibility, maybe?
I mean, talking about the local listeners out there, you know, if you're local to Madison, mark your calendar for April 30th. There's still a lot of T's to cross and I's to dot, but we're going to tease it here for listeners tonight. Mark your calendar, April 30th, this time, live show from a local place near you. So Madison folks, be thinking about it. Join Tim and I. We'll have more details to come as the week unfolds, the I's dot and the T's cross. But, you know, listen to Civic Media, listen to your shows. You'll hear promos as it comes together, because Tim and Johnny are exploring the possibility.
And it doesn't have to just be high probability. It doesn't just have to be Madison. Hey, if you want to come from Waukesha, get down here. If you want to come from La Crosse, get down here. If you want to come from Hayward, get down here. Chicago Teachers Union, we know you're listening. Get there. Get a bus together and drive up to Madison for the night. You know, more details to come. We're teasing it, though. We're just teasing it. But if you want to pull out your calendar, pull out your pencil, your busted pencil, mark down that date, April 30th. It looks like something might be happening.
I'm excited.
A lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of exciting stuff. Truly bringing democracy in action. You know, busted pencils, that's what we like to do. We want to be an example for everybody out there who is saying, you know, public schools, democracy, you guys are always talking about those two being linked up. Yeah, we do. We talk about them all the time being linked up. Because, you know, again, your public school system, and this goes back to what Mitchell was talking about with accountability, playing by the same rules, because in democracy, that's the reality, is that democracy has to have a clear rule book that everybody knows how those rules are enforced, and therefore the ability then to know when things are going awry or when things are not. And so democracy requires a shared rule book.
Yep. Trust and transparency.
And that's what we do. Busting pencils every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for you guys, you know, and sometimes.
I'm glad that we're back together on the.
I
on
was going to say.
Anya, glad to have you back, you know, producing everything. It's, you know, things go great all the time, but they go extraordinary when we've got our full lineup. So I appreciate you both. Listeners,
man.
We appreciate you too.
Thank you for listening. Busted Pencils, it's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Tomorrow, looks like we're going to do some trending news, education news. There's a lot going on. We've been having lots and lots and lots of guests. We got to bring you back up to date with the news. Busted, yeah. You know, all the time, we want to make sure. And the other part, though, too, is bring the phones. Open up the phones. Come on in tomorrow night. Lots of opportunity to tell us what you all have been thinking, because you say, like, man, you guys have had lots of guests on lately. We have, because we've got lots of people who want to talk and we want to bring them. And we say, and I'll even put it out there, that if you're saying, could I be a guest on your show? Yes, you could. Give us a call, send us an email, tag us, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on YouTube. Make us known, man. We would love to hear from you, because this is the Blue Collar Scholar Show. We want you on the school, on talking about schools. Yep. Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk, trending news tomorrow night. Have a good night.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Tune into the Earl Ingram Show Tuesday at 8 a.m. for my regular conversation with Sandy Williams. I'm Earl Ingram.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper.